Thanks for listening to Schlereth than Evans On Demand, brought to you by Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. If you're in the market for replacement windows, there's only one place to turn. That's Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. Visit them online at windowsforyourhome.com.
Snapshot presented by Schomp BMW. One price, one person, 1 hour.
Clear the Air with Mark Schlereth is brought to you by Monster Vac.
Are you ready?
Let's clear the air with Mark Schlereth.
It's gone from suck to blow.
What?
All right, we talked about this in the last segment, that DT is probably one of the most underappreciated Broncos of all time, and I don't think I have any issue with that. But I wanted to go back to yesterday, because you and I went back and forth on the importance of these OTAs, the fact that they're voluntary. Should guys miss? Should guys not miss? I was of the opinion that you should be there. It's about teaching the young players. It's about having eyeballs on the young players. It's about setting that example. It's about leadership. It's about that culture that we talked about, that culture that they're trying to establish, that winning culture that John Elway called them soft last year. They're trying to get that back. But here's all you need to know about the voluntary nature. Bill Polian, we had that sound yesterday of him saying, hey, I helped create these OTAs. It's voluntary. You don't have to show up. Okay, if that's the case, then why do guys feel compelled to make up an excuse or to give a reason for their absence? It's voluntary. Hey, DT had a personal issue that he had to attend to. Emmanuel Sanders had a personal issue that he had to attend to. So they didn't show up to the voluntary workouts? If it's truly voluntary, say, screw you guys. I'm playing golf today. I don't feel like showing up. Because it's never truly voluntary. You can sit there and slap that word on like it doesn't mean anything, but you are taking role. Everybody's taking role. Vance Joseph is taking role. Elway's taking role. The players in that locker room are taking role. The equipment managers, the strength coaches, they're all taking role. Hey, did you see? So-and-so missed their workout today. Wonder what he was doing. Personal issue my ass. Yeah, he's playing golf, right? I mean, that's exactly what goes on. So my thing is, from a management standpoint, and if we have Bill Polian on here, I tell him the same thing. Dude, don't give me the voluntary baloney that comes from the offices of coaches and the offices of the NFL, because these things are voluntary mandatory. Otherwise, you wouldn't need to come up with a reason. DT wouldn't need to give a reason. They're voluntary. I didn't feel like showing up. Pound sand. But they're not voluntary, are they? And that's why they are important. And that's why it's important for everybody to be there to get their cleats on the grass.
That was awesome.
Clear the air with Mark Schlereth.
I hadn't thought about it that way. Think about when you put in for vacation time at work.
Right.
It's your time.
Mm-hmm.
You've earned it. You can use it. But how many of us feel compelled to, like, almost, like, give a reason why we're going on vacation?
Right.
You know, well, hey, you know, we're trying to get away for a little while, get the kids out, you know, and it's their spring break, and, you know, it's the only time we really get to do it. We feel almost compelled to have to do that, right? We don't.
Yeah, you just
hey,
say,
I'm putting in for vacation time.
Putting on vacation. What are you doing? It's none of your business what I'm doing. What do you mean, what am I doing? It's not your business. Seriously, if
right.
It was truly voluntary, you wouldn't need to call in and say, hey, I can't make it today. I've got a personal issue. If it's truly voluntary, you don't have to show up at all. Honestly, you think it's voluntary for the middling players trying to make the roster? You think they think it's voluntary? Voluntary, my butt.
Yeah, I listened to a lot of talk here on the station about it throughout the course of the day, and I just can't escape the fact that I think this is being overblown. That, I mean, I'm hearing, oh, well, this is why you're 5-11.
Yeah.
And what does it say if you're 5-11 and three of your so-called leaders aren't there? It's like, you know, something's rotten from the neck on down. I think it's a little overdramatic, if you ask me.
It is. But let me throw this at you, Mike, all right? So, and I said it on the broadcast, and I had the meeting with, when I called the Denver Miami game, I had the meeting with Von Miller, okay? And think about this, and I'm hosting Von's event on Thursday, does a charity go-kart racing event, it's really cool, raised a lot of money. Von does incredible things in this community, and I love Von. But Vaughn was like, hey, listen, I'm coached better than this. I just jump off occasionally because, you know, jump off sides, you know, make the quarterbacks know I'm there and blah, 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 and da-da-da-da-da, right? Well, and he says, well, I don't do it in critical situations. Okay. Let me ask you a question. How much more of a chance do you have converting first down and five than you do first down and 10? What do you think the odds go up on a conversion of first down and five? 80%? 90%? You do that two times. You keep two drives alive. You flip field position. You pin your offense deep. Is that leadership or is that selfishness? And from my point, it's selfishness because you've hurt the other guys on your team. That is, if I can set him up, maybe I can get a sack, right? But the bottom line is, those are the things that those are little things, Mike, the sweep the corners. Those are the sweep the corners moments. Little things that can become big things. And in the overall scheme of the game, you don't think about it. But all of a sudden, that first and five gets converted, and then they convert another one, and they flip the field, and then they pin you down inside the five-yard line, and you automatically give up 5 points because your offense can't move it out of that critical zone. You're automatically, you know, you're giving up a field goal attempt or a short field touchdown. But see, and that, to me, though, that's on you, and these are the little tiny things that creep in when you're trying to create a culture and you're trying to change a culture, and those things, to me, like, you, I expect a certain amount of selfishness from diva wide receivers because they've been given an opportunity to be selfish.
But I think, though, that what we fall into the trap, and this is something that I've been railing against for the last year plus, is this idea that we focus too much on the peripheral issues. Well, you know, Vance Joseph and the coaching staff didn't do this, didn't do that. Or now we got, you know, guys aren't showing up for voluntary OTAs and it speaks to some sort of leadership problem. The more we make a bigger deal about those things, the more we overlook the larger issue and the most important reason why this team was 5-11, why this team is 10-18 in the last 28. It's because there's been a talent drain on this football team. They're just not good enough anymore. The talent isn't as good enough. They don't have good enough players. They've missed too much in the draft. They've missed too much in free agency. That's why they're in the plight that they're in. Not because of a guy missing an OTA here and there. I think that we're trying to create this idea that there's some huge mystical cultural thing that's holding the Broncos back. No, they're just not good enough.
Do you want to know?
And I'll tell you what, you upgrade the talent, you get better players in here, and I think they took a positive step with this draft. I'm enthused about this draft.
I am too.
But you know what? If all of a sudden you have better players around here, you watch and see how all of a sudden these intangibles and these concerns about the coaching, watch how they go away.
No, I mean, you're 100% right on that. But, I mean, you got to give me my due that little things eventually become big things. And even though you don't think they're important, they are. I tell you the one thing, like, you open yourself up as a player, and I was very conscientious or very – I understood this as a player. You do something like skip an OTA or skip a workout or whatever, and it becomes public, which everything becomes public today. And then all of a sudden, you don't play very well in the first 4 weeks. Pah! Skipping OTAs, you know, for a quote-unquote – you know, I'm using air quotes – personal reason. Well, that's why he's not focused, you know. And so my point is, if you do it, you better have thick enough skin to deal with the criticism that's going to come along with it. And is it fair? Probably not. But it's there, and it always will be.
But you're talking about three guys. If you want to somehow speak to the idea that these three guys are setting a bad example, well, you're talking about three guys who were right in the mix of and were cornerstone players of a team that won a Super Bowl. So it couldn't have been that bad.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't have been that much of a poisonous, you know, distraction and bad example.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see why one mispractice is all of a sudden going to, you know, doom these guys and their impact.
Did they miss OTAs when Peyton Manning was in charge? Oh, that goes to leadership. I win. Move on to break.
Okay. Mark, the last word, Schlereth. Okay. It may not be his fault, but does Shane Ray still go down as a bust? That's coming up next. So Shane Ray is looking at a second wrist surgery. It's funny, Vance Joseph the other day talked about it as being, kind of a little wrist thing, a little irritation.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I had back surgery in 97. I was out 27 days with back surgery. I had L5, S1, both discs herniated, L5, S1, both sides of the disc, I should say, herniated. So I had both of them removed, essentially. I think they call it a lapinectomy, but whatever, it doesn't really matter. So I'm sitting on the stationary bike a couple days, a week or so after the surgery, and I'm pedaling slowly around on the stationary bike trying to get my, doing whatever the training staff is having me do. And I just have a pair of shorts on. I don't have a shirt on, showing off my incredibly, incredibly well-developed physique. And so this
group, very impressive.
Yeah, this group of, I don't know what they were. They were doctors and students and whatever. But I'm pedaling, and the guy is looking, like one of these doctors is looking at my back and says, wow, it's a really nice scar. And you know what I said to him? If it's on my back, it's a really nice scar. If it's on your back, it sucks. Right? And that's how they treat injuries. Like, it's a little wrist. It'll be fine. Any surgery is a major surgery. Any surgery. I don't care what it is. It's major. And, we act like if this guy doesn't come back and perform at a high level, well, it's his fault. Because it was we don't give surgery the amount of
seriousness?
Seriousness and gravity that it deserves. Oh, it's just, it's just a little wrist, right? That has always annoyed me.
Well, this is how Vance described it the other day.
Shane's got a little wrist going on right now. So irritated, so we're not sure. We're taking it slow. Being smart with guys, it's the spring, right? So our goal is to get him healthy for training camp, but right now we're being smart with Shane. And he's not by himself. He's not by himself.
Okay, here's something that's been my perception that I've built up over the years. You tell me if I'm close or if I'm just reading it wrong. That whenever I hear an athlete say he's going for a second opinion, that it's a slight, it's an indictment, it's a vote of not complete trust in the doctors that you have.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, then is that, all right, good. Okay, then I'm on the right track. Okay, let me further it up one more. Is that a reflection then of I don't trust the competency of the doctors, or I don't trust that the doctors who are employed by the team have my best interests at heart? Which one is it?
Well, I think it's probably...
I doubt it's competency.
No, it's the latter, because there are things that you do, and this is part of playing this game. There are things that you do as an athlete to play that no doctor in America would sign off for anybody else. And so is there a conflict of interest when you're being paid as a physician by the team? And I don't know how you could argue it any other way. And like I said, I have a lot of faith. I have a lot of those guys are friends. You know, the guys that to me, the Schlegels and the Martin Bublik and the Hawkins and Stedman, those guys were my friends. I love those guys. And did they have my best interest at heart? Absolutely. But they also have the team of how can we manage this to get you back on the field? And so, if it was their own sons and daughters, they'd be like, hell no. you're gonna rehab this. We're gonna do the surgery, but you're gonna rehab this the right way, and you're not gonna go back and play, have surgery on Monday and play on Sunday.
Wait a minute, like, hold on a second. Wait a minute, because you had a zillion surgeries while you were a player.
Mm-hmm.
So you're telling me that an injury that requires surgery can be approached in two ways. It can be approached in, let's fix this, or let's fix this so he can get back and play. Meaning, it's an injury that you can operate on with two different timetables based on how you approach the surgery?
Well, I think there's a lot of things that you do that way, that you manage that way.
Because all of us out listening right now are like, okay, I've got this problem. It requires surgery. Fix it.
Right.
Fix it so it's not an issue. And we don't necessarily think about the time frame involved in coming back from it.
Right.
It's not like, hey, fix this so I'm done right versus fix this so that I can be doing this in a couple of months.
Right. You got to be careful here. You always, from a player's perspective, that this is on the player. You want to play. So if you're like, hey man, I want to get back out there. So for instance, my last year, I had multiple surgeries. My last year, multiple knee surgeries, and I kept coming back. I finally went on IR like in November. But I had a huge bone spur and raw spot in my knee, and they cut it out, and I, you know, rehab for a couple of days. Came back the preseason, came back, played, re-injured it, had another surgery, cleaned it up, but we didn't do the microfracture, which needed to be done. We just tried to clean it up to the point where, you know, hopefully with some drugs and anti-inflammatories and some cortisone shots and those things, you can manage it. Well, I couldn't manage it anymore. It was so bad. So I had multiple surgeries. I didn't fix it the first time. I cleaned it up enough to play for about 8 weeks, and then it just was not good enough anymore. And then I had the major microfracture, which, you know, my career was over.
So, real quick then, if Shane Ray's getting a second opinion, does this come down to versus the Broncos' version is this is what can get you back out on the field so you can have maybe the second half of the season, versus a second opinion is this is what you need to get it done and it'll probably require you missing the entire season?
And that's... that is the game that's played, and that's what you have to understand. That's why the second opinion, you know, oftentimes by the franchise, even though it's your right and it's been collectively bargained, I did this when I played in Washington, and I had surgery outside of our team facility. I went to Dr. Andrews. I came back, and I was, you know, struggling in the rehab a little bit and having some swelling issues and asked for some anti-inflammatories. You know what the Redskins told me? Why don't you go to your doctor and get them?
Ooh.
Now, that was a long time ago when it was really frowned upon, but there are still prevailing attitudes like that across the league. The Broncos are great about the second opinion stuff, and you know, I've been through it. I love the way they handle it. But again, for Shane Ray, sometimes it's got to be not so much about playing this year. It's got to be about getting it done and getting it fixed and getting it rehabbed.
Is Garrett Bowles set to become a franchise left tackle? Four Down Territory's next.
Professional football in America is a special game.
This is Four Down Territory.
I'd like to start out with a thank you to John Elway.
That just happened.
Right, I'll kill a snitch. I'm not saying I have. I'm not saying I have.
How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountain?
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Gentlemen, this is the real thing. This is what you've been trained for.
First down.
Shane's got a little wrist going on right now. So irritated, so we're not sure. We're taking it slow. Just being smart with guys. It's the spring, right? So our goal is to get him healthy for training camp. But right now we're being smart with Shane. And he's not by himself.
All right, so Shane Ray is going to get that second opinion on a wrist. And if he does get season-ending surgery, that's it. You know, Broncos didn't pick up the fifth-year option, wisely, because it would have been guaranteed for injury. So if this is it, can you label a guy a bust when he's been plagued by the kind of injuries that Shane Ray has?
No.
I can't. I mean, he had 8 sacks his, what, second year when he was filling in for DeMarcus Ware.
But like, that will have been the extent of it. 4 years for a first-round draft pick.
Right. I understand that. I understand, you know, there's nothing you can do about the injury. Like, a bust to a guy that's a bust to me comes in and is Jamarcus Russell, as lazy as Ryan Leaf. He just doesn't do the work. Like, it's far easier to say, hey, Paxton Lynch is going down the bust route than it is Shane Ray. I mean, I think Shane Ray is an exceptional player who's just had some injury issues.
But you've always said to me that availability is a skill. So
yeah, availability is the most important ability.
Okay, so if that's an ability, if that's a skill, and we judge guys as being a bust, usually based on they don't have the proper skill, I mean, maybe it's not his fault, but does it still go down as a busted pick?
I'd never, he can play. He's proven that he can play football. He has it's been unfortunate. The injury issue has been unfortunate for him. So I'm not going to go down that road. He's a bust. Because I don't think he is. But it's unfortunate that he has had the injury issues that he's had.
Next in four down territory.
Second down.
Knowing that our offense is a lot more simpler and complex, so just going out there and playing fast is the thing I'm going to focus on, which is going to help me stay focused. Also, move my feet. You know, we changed up our pass sets and everything like that with Coach Strauss. He did a great job with all of our tackles. So just trusting him, trusting in the process, and knowing that, you know, if my feet get there before my hands, I'm going to be all right.
There he is, Garrett Bowles, a.k.a. the henchman.
Oh, yeah, the henchman.
Because he sounds like a henchman in one of those Bond movies.
Yeah. He does. The henchman.
So he basically came out and said yesterday, look, I was so raw last year, I really didn't know how to play tackle. Welcome to the NFL, kid. Okay, so now he's back, a year older, a year wiser. 8 to 10 pounds stronger.
That's right.
So is he set to become a franchise left tackle in your mind?
He's set to become the henchman. He'll be like Odd Job with the hat, just throwing his helmet at people,
you know,
slicing their necks off.
If my feet get there before my hands, I'm going to be all right.
This is really not so much about gaining 10 pounds. This is about understanding how to play the game, right? And to be a supervillain, you got to understand how to play the game. Yeah, I definitely think he'll be better this year. I think they did him no favors by putting Garcia by him either. And moving Ronald Leary, that was just dumb. Putting Ronald Leary back there, you know, having that kind of communication, two veteran or a real veteran player and a second-year guy, that'll help him out a ton.
So this offensive line, this much-maligned offensive line, where would you put your level of confidence in this line right
one,
now?
One being,
I have no confidence. They're awful. They couldn't block you, Evans. Versus 10. I mean, this line is stout.
Right. I would put them right now at 5 with an arrow trending up.
Ooh, okay.
Now we're going to have to
see. But starting at 5, though, I mean, can the arrow trend all the way up to like 9? Or is your idea of a trend to like maybe a 7?
Like a 7 to me would be good.
I'd take 7.
Right. Compared to, like, they've been... You know, under 5. They've underwhelmed the last couple of years. So, yeah, I mean, there's hope. I mean, I need Valdir to really be good. Like, he's a good player, Mike. He's a really good player. Struggled when they moved him over to right tackle, as most of us do when we have to flip sides. But the guy's a really good player. Had some injury issues. Like, so there's a lot of question marks there. But if he gets right... If he's healthy, because I don't have any doubt that he'll be able to master. He played center as a young player in Oakland, then moved to left tackle. I don't have any doubt he'll make the transition to right tackle. He'll figure out his feet. He'll figure out his stance. He'll figure it out. He's just got to be healthy.
And your right guard is?
Yes.
To be determined. Next in four down territory.
Third down.
So I'll be there this week. I'll be full go. So looking forward to it. Can't wait to get back to work. And I'm excited. Going to be going there with my new Buzz haircut. And can't wait to get going again.
Gronk.
He's excited.
Rob Gronkowski showed up at the Patriots mandatory minicamp, as did Tom Brady. Gronk talked. And he said part of the reason why he stayed away from the team during the OTA period, strength and off-season conditioning program, was to get his body right. Whoa, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. I thought the whole idea about being in the strength and conditioning program with a football team was to get your body ready. Doesn't this speak, again, to this rift that exists among a lot of Patriot players, led by Tom Brady, who would rather work out with Brady's personal trainer,
right,
which places a lot less emphasis on get in the weight room, bang reps, bang weight, you know, lots of squats and stuff like that. It's based more on flexibility and pliability and things like that.
Right.
Hey, all I know is that Gronk using Brady's guy was as healthy as Gronk's been in some time.
Yeah, using rubber bands and things like that. Yeah. Balancing on a usu ball or whatever the hell those things are called. What are those things called?
You're asking me?
Osu.
Do I look like a pliability guy?
Doing some plyometrics. Explosion. And then getting right at the very end of it, you just go calm. You go, oh. And you calm down. Home. You probably touch your finger and your thumb together. Like your middle finger. Home. Home.
Light a candle.
Oh, incense. It's burning in there. You're probably in a hot yoga room. Then all of a sudden.
Goat on your back.
That's right. Then all of a sudden. Oops. Sorry.
Good thing we had that incense candle.
Right. But you're in a hot yoga room.
True. It
smells like somebody took a dump in a yoga hot room with incense.
One a day, folks. There's always at least one a day. Next in four down territory.
Fourth down.
So far, it seems fine. Still limited to some respect as far as what I can do. So the brace is something that I never want to use it as a crutch by any means, but just to feel a little more protected, to make sure the doctors feel a little safer within everything. But it's something I'm just now really getting used to.
Carson Wentz and growing speculation that Wentz will be available for week one. Is this a case where if you're the Eagles, you're like, hey, take your time. Even you look like you're 95%, great. Get back to us when you're 100. Or that mystical 110%. There's just no need for this guy to rush back.
Isn't that the beauty of actually having a backup quarterback that can play? Or a backup player that can play any position? It's really what the NFL, it's really one of the reasons the quality of the NFL has dropped and diminished so much since the last collective bargaining agreement. You're one injury away from, you know, from disaster. And to have that luxury gives you the opportunity to tell Carson Wentz, like, oh, dude, pump the brakes.
Do you think there's any part of Carson Wentz, maybe a small part, back there in the recess of his mind that he doesn't want to really acknowledge, wants to lock away, is a bit jealous of Nick Foles and a bit worried that I got to get back on the field?
Oh, yeah, yeah. As a competitor, you want to, you know, you want to compete, one. And I think the other thing is, yeah, what if Nick Foles comes out and lights it up for the first three games of the
season?
Picks
up right where he left off?
And the team is just rolling. You know, they're averaging 34 points a game, and they look great. And then, you know, what happens to me? Hey, guys, I'm back. Hey, you know what? Just take a couple more weeks to come. Yeah, like, yeah, of course he's got that feeling.
That'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the NFL, bringing to you each and every morning at 7:30. We'll tackle all the top Bronco topics with our Bronco insider, Troy Rank, and also hit at him some Rockies topics, including, has Kyle Freeland now established himself as the Rockies ace, Jeff Francis-like? That's next.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Bronco and Rocky Insider, set to join us here in just a little bit. As we also have question Mark coming up at 8 o'clock. Any question you want to ask Mark, hit us up on Twitter at MikeEvans1043, at Mark Schlereth. Also on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. As we'll have that for you coming up at 8 o'clock. Also tonight, Game 3, NBA Finals.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah.
Cavaliers come off the mat?
No.
Make a series of this?
I don't think so. I think they're already done. I think LeBron has already said he's done enough by carrying these scabs that he's got with him.
Scabs.
Right. I've done enough. There's nothing more I can do. I got us to the NBA Finals. What more can I do? So I think they're done. I just think they're finished.
They're finished. Okay.
Sweep. Well, let's sweep it.
Sweep them.
Maybe they lose one just so they win the championship at home.
Sweep. That'd put a big dent in the LeBron has surpassed Michael Jordan talk if he got swept.
Any of us that grew up our time, he'll never surpass. I don't care what he does. He's not surpassing Jordan.
What about it, Troy Rank? You got a thought on that, I know. You got a thought on everything. What about LeBron?
Well, they're going to have difficulty winning a game, but they could win one because they've played so well in Cleveland during the playoffs. I think Mark's right that, I mean, LeBron, he doesn't have enough cast around him to win right now against Golden State, which, you know, they're going to go down as one of the, as a dynasty here if they win three and what three, they had been in it 4 years. So I think this is LeBron leaving Cleveland as well. I don't see him staying in Cleveland after this because there's no quick fix in Cleveland where he could go somewhere else maybe and be right back in the finals with a different team. But could he be Michael Jordan? He's a different player than Michael Jordan. LeBron James, to me, has always been a better version of Magic Johnson. Mm. I've never seen him in terms of Michael Jordan.
Mm, that's a good point. Hey, let's get to the Broncos right now. Garrett Bowles bulked himself up to 3'10". What should we expect, or what do you expect from year one to year two with Garrett Bowles?
Listen, you know this, Mark. Self-evaluation is critical to improvement at every level, but particularly the NFL, where guys are not used to getting beat, not used to struggling. Bowles took a step back and said, hey, I got to get better. I got to get bigger. And they're going to change their pass drops and their pass protection. That will help. Ron Leary, we believe, will ultimately end up next to him on the left side. I think that's going to help. Having stability at quarterback will help. And I do think he'll be better in pass protection. And, you know, he's a physical athlete. I mean, he's just – but he was raw. I mean, he hasn't played much football. And I'm not making excuses. I mean, the guy's just only played high-level football for about 3 years of his life. So there is a part where you say he's going to get better. The age is a concern because, you know, the clock's ticking a bit. But I believe in terms of Bowles, he will improve. The new pass-blocking sets will help him. And he won't make an excuse about this, but six quarterback changes, three different quarterbacks, all who set up in the pocket differently, did not help him. But he's got to get better in pass pro, and he's got to stop holding. And I think he will be better in both those situations this year.
Troy, based on your experience covering football and baseball for all those years, when an athlete says, I'm getting a second opinion on what the team tells me about my injury, what is the message that's being sent there?
Well, again, this, and Mark probably isn't the best example because he's had so many surgeries, but surgery's always the last option. Everyone, I guess, gets into this kind of mode of, oh, just go have surgery, fix it, 4 to 6 weeks, you're right back. Surgery's complicated, the recovery's complicated, and it doesn't always go smoothly. And in the case of Ray, he's, you know, saying that he'd need they're looking into whether he'd need a follow-up procedure. From my understanding, it's not back, clearly not back to ground zero where it was last year during training camp. But if you decide to have surgery versus rest, what does that look like? And if it's just rest, will it reoccur, the issue, the pain, come right back? Because typically rest will heal stuff that's not, you know, if you don't have something torn. But then when you go back to compete in the athletic arena, then all of a sudden it bothers you again. And so that's what, you know, he's looking into. The calendar's working in Ray's favor. If it's, you know, I'm not a doctor, but if it's type of a cleanup fix type, he's got, 6 weeks here? So that's something he has to consider. But second opinion typically means, A, you just want to cover all bases. It's not necessarily a slight to the team. A lot of guys do this now in all sports. And you're trying, if you can, to avoid another procedure to see if with rest, therapy, PT, is there any other solution than going back into surgery?
Troy, if these workouts, these OTAs are truly voluntary, why do people feel the need to make an excuse and say, hey, I have a personal issue, I can't come in today? Why don't they just skip them?
Well, I think because the media is there now, social media, you know, it's just, why isn't so-and-so there? I mean, it's not, for me, it's a little unfair to the player because it is voluntary. and yet you're taking attendance. So is it or is it not? And some guys don't need to be there. Offensively, with Keenum, you'd like the offense to be, as much as possible, those guys to start getting into a rhythm with a new quarterback. But if you have an issue that comes up that you need to take care of, you don't have to be there. And if you're a veteran, you know, I totally get that because, you know, they're veteran guys that practice. I mean, they're out there all the time during the season. So for me, that's not an issue, especially defenders that miss a practice here and there. I mean, honestly, I mean, what does that matter? I want to see them at training camp. I want to see what it looks like the first month of the season when everything's on the line. I'm not going to remember how a guy looked on June 3rd. You know, that's not that big a deal to me. But again, why is it announced? The coaches don't really announce it. We kind of find out just to, in some cases, to protect the player because it's a media thing. We're out there that one day. And if they're not there, it's like, oh, where's this person at? And it's like, well, they don't have to be here unless they were dealing with an injury. It's really a non-issue.
Visitor Troy Ranker, our Denver 7 Broncos and Rocky insider. And it seems like in our quest, obsession to build up John Gray as the Rockies' ace, or perhaps find somebody else, maybe Herman Marquez. Have we overlooked Kyle Freeland in all of this? Is Freeland fast becoming the Rockies' ace?
Well, you know, ace is in name only this year with that staff. You just, to win, you need basically three threes and a couple of fours, or three threes, a four, and a five. You can win that way. And one of those threes, you know, pitches like a two down the stretch. You know, to say Freeland's an ace at this point in his career, I think that's unfair to him. But I will say this, he's left-handed, his ball moves violently late, and he gets strikeouts. To be an ace, you have to be able to get a punch out. You can't be a pitch-to-contact guy for a full season and typically be an ace anymore in the big leagues. But Freeland competes, and he's only getting better. And the thing I like about Kyle, we talked about Bowles earlier, self-evaluation. Kyle went back through the film and went back to the scouting reports. And how can I be less predictable? How can I throw a changeup here that I was throwing in a curveball count? How can I sink it here when I was foreseen? That's how you get better at that level because the degree of difficulty is amazing. And the difference between success and failure at the big league level as a pitcher is literally an inch off the barrel that gets you out. And he's figured that out. You see Shaw, everything's flat right now. Everything's on the same plane. And it's almost as if he's texting the hitter what's coming. I mean, you see guys so comfortable. And this is a guy that throws 95 miles per hour with a cutter and is struggling to get guys out. And that's what I'm saying. The difference of success and failure at that level is just minute. And I give Freeland credit because, again, he could have easily rested and said, I had an amazing rookie year. And instead, it's how can I get better? Man, he has been a huge boost this year.
He certainly has. And Shaw, you're 100% right. I mean, 95 straight doesn't mean anything to big league hitters anymore. And that cutter just isn't cutting like you know, it has early in the season or it has in past years. But I want to talk about Cargo. All of a sudden, Cargo, man. I mean, he hit that 147. That was a bomb that he hit yesterday. Cargo's looking like Cargo. I mean, I know it's taken a long time, but he's starting to look like Cargo of old. How good is this for the Rockies to be competitive?
Well, remember last year when they got across the finish line, what was the reason offensively? Cargo went crazy the last 5 weeks of the season. And he, just like you said, I mean, instead of an old Cargo, he looked like the Cargo of old. And now for the last 2 weeks or so, we're seeing that. He's a guy that can put a team on his back and carry you for a couple weeks. And there's not many big league hitters that can do that. And if he could just finish the season with, you know, 280 with 20 home runs and you start approaching 50 extra base hits, they would take that. It's all in that leg kick with Cargo. When he picks his leg up and sets it straight down, he stays over the baseball and he gets his opposite field hits. At times his leg kick gets big and when he puts his foot down, it opens up his front side and he gets pull happy and then he cannot cover that outside part of the plate on a slider or even a fastball. But it looks like everything's back on time again, and he's square, and man, did he hit that ball last night. 473 feet. He's got one of the top exit velocities of the season, so it's showing you when he squares it up, it's still all there, the talent. But, yeah, it's a huge boost given the lineup issues they've had this season. If he can just stay steady now, you know, stay hot here and there and stay steady, that's a huge plus for them.
All right, Troy, great stuff as always. Love the insight. Thank you.
Yep.
Troy Rankard, Denver 7 Broncos and Rocky Insider, brought to you by Tranny Law. If you or somebody you know been charged with a DUI, call for a free consultation at 303-333-1816 or TRANILaw.com. Back to the whole Shane Ray thing. And now if he's going to be out, even if it's a type of surgery where, you know, at some point this season he's able to come back. All right, what's next? What's next? Because one thing we know about Von Miller, as great as Von is, he has to have somebody to play off of. He has to have somebody on that other side that can really perform at such a level that it frees Von up to go out and be Von.
I'm DFW.
Are we now looking at extra attention paid to is Shaq Barrett now all of a sudden the guy? Are we now looking at Bradley Chubb, who, you know, didn't play a lot outside linebacker in college, but they're working with him to become an outside linebacker. But all of a sudden now, whatever we were thinking about Bradley Chubb, increase that expectation?
Well, Bradley Chubb will be a pass rusher, and you have to, you know, you've got to understand that he can pass rush from multiple positions. And you go back to the film of his sophomore year, he played outside linebacker. So there's no question he has the athleticism, the explosiveness, the ability to do that. But I look at him more, you know, in situational nickel situations and defensive end and that kind of thing. The other thing is it's always assumed that you got to have somebody on the opposite side of you to be an effective pass rusher. But I'll go all the way back to the Giants back in the day with Lawrence Taylor and Leonard Marshall, who lined up on the same side of the ball. And they wreaked havoc on that same side of the ball. So if you get a healthy Derek Wolfe getting pushing 8 to 10 sacks with Von Miller on that side, I mean, that can be a very formidable duo on that side as well. So it's not always that you need somebody opposite of you. Sometimes it's the guy right beside you that can really help. I'll even go back to the Tampa Bay days when Warren Sapp and Simeon Rice lined up on the same side of the ball. I mean, name the guy on the other side that was bringing heat. Name the guy on the other side of the Giants team that was bringing heat. So you can do it. There's a multitude of ways to create pressures. It's nice to have somebody on the other side. I'm not going to deny that. It's nice when you have a DeMarcus Ware over there and a Von Miller, but there's more ways to do it. But, you know, I mean, ultimately, Wolf has to be great. He has to be healthy. He came in studio. His neck is good. And that's a neck that's been bothering him for years, you know, that they quote-unquote managed. He's fixed now, and he feels great. So I have no – I don't have any – trepidation about saying I think he's going to be really good this year. So the good thing is they've got they have just got a wealth of good players on the defensive side of the ball, guys that can naturally rush the passer. So, you know,
so I'm making too much out of that bookend pass rusher.
Yes.
Although, what's the biggest reason maybe people like the Chargers in the West?
Yeah, because they have two great edge rushers.
Bosa and Ingram.
Yeah, great edge rushers. And those guys flip-flop around a lot, and sometimes they line up on the same side of the ball. I mean, they do a really good job. Gus Bradley, their coordinator, does a great job with those guys. And it's probably one of the reasons that they are considered the favorite to win the AFC West.